You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome everyone to Breaking Big Blue. I'm your host Jordan Ron on ESPN. ESPN.com, Giants reporter. If you listen very closely, you could hear that sound. It almost sounds like footsteps. Footsteps because those are the footsteps of the NFL draft, inching closer and closer. And in less than 2 weeks, it's finally going to be here. Giants picking 11th overall. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. We'll have Jeremy Fowler as well, ESPN NFL reporter. And then later on, we'll do a little Jordan on the beat. I'll give you the inside story of the Giants' interest in the 2007 NFL draft in Patrick Mahomes. So that'll be fun to go through that, or maybe painful, however you want to look at it. Anyway, we've got the Giants picking at number 11. Big pick for this organization because they have some holes to fill. And I was trying to think about it. Okay. What are the biggest needs of this team entering the draft, right? They could use number one, and it's not even close. It's edge rush. It's edge rusher. Seriously, think about it. Not even close. What else? Like, yes, they need offensive line help, interior offensive line in particular, probably. But, I mean, they did just draft two guys on the edge in regards to offensive line at tackle. So, you have to at least give them a shot. Like, you're not saying we need a left tackle and we need one now. No, like, they're going to ride with Andrew Thomas. They want to give Matt Parrott a chance. And they have Nate Solder there just as insurance, just in case Matt Parrott either isn't good or isn't ready. So it's not really the edge. It's the interior offensive line with Shane Lemieux and Will Hernandez. Are they both legitimate starters in the NFL? There's clearly that could be debated. They can upgrade at one of those positions, or at least add depth for sure on the interior. You know, Zach Fulton's there too, started last year or past few years for the Texans, but definitely could use some reinforcements there. Now, the Giants could also use an inside linebacker, although I don't know if that's at the top of the list. They have Blake Martinez, really good player. And next to him right now, they have Tay Crowder, promising for, you know, Mr. Irrelevant, last pick of the draft last year. But also, is he really an NFL starting caliber player? Do you want him starting? I know they signed Reggie Ragland this offseason, so he's sort of veteran insurance. But they could use a guy in there, no doubt. They could use some running back depth. I know they have Saquon, obviously. They signed Devonta Booker, but there's definitely room for a young running back. Another weapon is certainly something the Giants could use. Wide receiver, John Ross is just a flyer, right? They did sign Kenny Galladay, and they have Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton. So they're pretty good there, but could always use more in that regard. You can always, the tight end position, they're pretty stacked at right now, but Evan Engram, what's his future, right? He's in his fifth-year option. He might not be on the roster next year. Kyle Rudolph was just signed. He's not exactly a long-term. Like, where's 2-3 years down the line, are any of these tight ends even on the roster? So if they went in that direction, I wouldn't say it's crazy. I wouldn't say it's a need, but another weapon would be nice for Daniel Jones. We're not even going to get into quarterback, but we will say cornerback. At this point, the Giants have two quality starters after signing Adoree Jackson and James Bradberry in subsequent years. But, I mean, do they have another guy that really they want to start a throw out there as a starter? I mean, it's a legitimate question. You could definitely use some depth there. The Giants' cornerback position was in bad spot before they signed Adoree Jackson. Now it looks stronger. But still, you can never have enough good cornerbacks in this league. It is a tough position to fill. So these are their needs entering the draft. But when you talk about number one, after what happened in free agency, it's not even close. It's edge rusher. So I've been doing a lot of work on these edge rushers. Let me give you a little insight into what I found, okay? Kwity Paye. You hear a lot of good things about him. A lot of people like him. Produced at Michigan. Not huge production, but played pretty well at Michigan. And athletically, I mean, top of the line. Like, freakish almost. In a good way. I mean, you look at Kwity Paye and you look at, what do you run, a 4.52 at 260 pounds? That's pretty darn good. That's fast. That's quick. There's a legendary three-cone drill. So a lot of people like him that's out there about him. I mean, his three-cone drill, I mean, he didn't run it at his pro day, which kind of makes me wonder why. I'm kind of curious about that. I would love to hear his explanation at some point of why. But there's a former running back, I believe he's from New Hampshire, who he idolized, actually, because he was a bigger running back, was Brandon Jacobs was the kind of guy he modeled himself after. But so he can clearly run. Ran this drill, I guess, at Michigan. I don't know what it was, but at Michigan at some point. There's video of it if you search it out there. Kwity Paye, legendary three-cone drill. And he's running a three-cone drill. He looks great. And supposedly the time, forget what it was. Forget what the exact number was. But faster than Tyreek Hill did the three-cone drill, which seems unrealistic. But regardless, I don't care what it was. I'm sure it was fast. And he looked fast. I mean, you look at it, you look the way he ran it, his agility. And I think it was Matt Miller, our ESPN analyst, told me his agility was going to be off the charts and teams were going to be falling in love with it at his pro day. And you could see why. So he's a player that a lot of teams like. But now when I ask around, it's kind of split. What edge rusher, who's the best edge rusher out there? The top two answers are Kwity Paye and Jalen Phillips. Now, Jalen Phillips from Miami, and I've talked to some people that really like him. They think he could be the best pass rusher in this group. But he has some injury concerns, some concussions. That's the one mark about him. I mean, the Giants also. I mean, these are guys that are right up there for them. And then we talked about him last week, Azeez Ojulari, another guy. When I talk about him and I ask people, I said, well, tell me about him. What makes him, you know, a possibility for the Giants? Maybe at 11, but probably later. Because most people don't think he's worth the 11th pick. But probably the middle of the first round to teens, 20, somewhere around there. So maybe they move back and get him. If they do, that would be the most likely scenario. Is that he has that flexibility, positional flexibility to use in a bunch of different roles. So, you know, he can drop back and cover if need be. He can be used with his hand down. He could be used with his hand on the ground, standing up, inside even a little bit. He's had some success running those TE stunts with Leonard Williams. He's kind of fit for that, which is what the Giants like to do on defense. Like, he's made to be a 3-4 outside linebacker. There's some questions about whether Paye, because Kwity Paye played 4-3 defensive end. So it's a little bit of a projection to project him as an outside linebacker. Now, he has that athleticism that people think he could do it. So out of the 5 votes I got for top edge rusher so far, 2 were for Phillips, 2 were for Paye, and 1 was for Ojulari. 3 players I know the Giants think pretty highly of. So if they draft a guy at 11, it would be out of one of those 3. If they traded back a little bit, you know, still might be those guys. Now, I don't know where Phillips, the whole concussion thing and, you know, his past and the injury history, that kind of muddles that situation. I think, personally, if that he didn't have that background talking to people the way, from what I've heard, he would be the first edge guy off the board if that didn't exist. But it does. It does exist. So it creates some questions out there about those guys. Now, some other guys you talk to, Greg Rousseau, right? He's a guy. Gregory Rousseau, another Miami guy, was a big name, had a lot of sacks 2 years ago, opted out this past season. You talk to people out there, and they just don't seem to be as high on him as maybe people were before this process started. Like, he was perceived going into the season and everything, and I don't think the NFL kind of viewed him that way. When they went back and they looked at the tape, you saw a lot of his sacks were Quarterbacks holding onto the ball a little bit too long. Coverage a little bit, just sort of like effort plays. So really good player, long, like there's a lot to like there, but probably needed to take his game to the next level this year in order to be the guy that he was being made out to be as the, you know, the top edge rusher in this draft. And that's kind of why there's a possibility Rousseau lasts until the bottom of the first round, maybe even slides into the second round. I don't think that's a crazy thought at this point. I really don't. Although, I think the way this is going to turn out, and this is what the Giants have to consider, there's not going to be any edge rushers in the top 10 picks. So, around the 15 to 20 range, you'll see some start going off the board. And there'll be a bunch of guys that go between, like, 15 and 32, let's say. You know, so you got Phillips, Kwity Paye, Jalen Collins, Ojulari, Rousseau, Joey Tryon. All these guys, I think, are sort of in that range. Jason Owa, Carlos Basham. So all these guys are going to be probably top 50 picks. So I just named how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, you know what? You know who else I didn't even include? Where is he on my list? Oh, Zaven Collins, depending on how you look at him. Not a natural edge kind of guy, but really an outside linebacker. A lot of teams like him, actually. He's going to go in the first round, it seems like, as well. So that's about 9 guys. So 9 guys in, like, the top 50-ish picks. It's a lot. None in the top 10, but 9 in the top 50. So that creates a scenario where the Giants have to make a decision. Can we wait till the second round? Do we get the guy we want in the second round? Do we have to move back? Do we have to take one at 11? My preference, and I think I've stated this before, is the way it's the draft is set up for the Giants. Unless somebody falls, and we'll talk about that in a second. It's probably from these three guys of Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, or Rashawn Slater. And the Giants have them ranked in their top 5 players, and they're there at 11. Then I get it. You got to snap, go grab that guy. Don't look back. But if they have, you know, let's say Waddle's the guy who makes it to them. They have him at like the 10th ranked player. And they have, like, you know, Ojulari pretty high, let's say at like 13. They want to move back a couple spots to try and get Ojulari and go back to like 15, 16th pick and try and get Ojulari later or Phillips or whoever their guy is. I think that's the way to handle this draft. That, to me, seems like the best value for the Giants in this draft. Get back a few spots, get that edge rusher, and move on. Now, if they wait till, what do they pick? They pick 42. You wait till 42, who's to say that one of your top edge rushers is still there? Unless you have, you know, like I said, 8 or 9 guys might go in the top 50. Unless you like all 8 or 9 of those guys, which is unlikely. Some of them might not be a fit for their system. Some of them might have an injury history that the Giants cross them off. So it's a lot. It's a risk. It's a risk to wait until that second round. Or if you want to trade up, and I don't think this is the move for the Giants because I think they need more draft capital. To use their second round pick and trade and move back into the first round and at least give up another pick. Like, you're willing to give up your third or fourth rounder to get back into the end of the first round? Then the Giants will only have really 3 picks in the first 5 rounds. I don't think that's the route for this team. I don't think that's the right move for this team at this time. They're not like on the verge of winning still. They need to take more cracks at it. They need more shots at it. So I'd actually like to add an extra pick in these first 4 rounds. By moving back from 11 to, let's say, 18, you gain a pick in the first 4 rounds by doing that, and then you get your edge rusher there. Now, here's the dilemmas, okay? I created some scenarios. Let's say it's Smith, Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith are still on the board when the Giants pick 11. Who would the Giants pick, okay? That's what we'll do here. Who will the Giants pick? I'll pretend I'm the Giants and give you my best guess. Guesstimate, okay? You got Jalen Waddle or Devonta Smith. I think in this case, from what I'm hearing, the Giants, this is a tough one. I just hear good things about Devonta Smith. It makes me feel like he's the kind of weapon. Like, forget the size for a second. And I know it's hard to do that. I just think that's the way they would go. I just think that they think he's the better player. He went out there this year and showed he was the better player. Waddle is the better athlete. Smith, I believe they think, is the better player. The other scenarios I created. Okay, so now we did Smith over Waddle. So Devonta Smith or Rashawn Slater on the board. Now, Slater, it's debatable. It depends who you're talking to around the league of who people think is the best offensive lineman in the draft. It's either, for the most part, at least at tackle or offensive lineman in general, Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater. So he's thought of very highly, Slater. And I just think, look, Dave Gettleman, offensive line, the Giants have questions there. They can find a spot for a good offensive lineman, whether it's tackle, whether it's guard, whatever it may be. They could use him. If it's a top-end player, you take him and you improve that line. You have pretty good weapons, and they're probably in pretty good shape. So I do think when push comes to shove there, the Giants will go with Slater. That's because they signed Kenny Golladay, by the way. Probably close on the board. Patrick Surtain or any of the edges. I think the Giants will go with the edges. I do. I don't think there's going to be that big a difference between Surtain on the board and the edges. And now, the edges, when I talk about them, let's say, all right, start with Phil. We'll start with Quiddy Pay against Ojulari. Okay, Azeez Ojulari. Tough one. I hear a lot of positives for the Giants with Ojulari. Quiddy Pay, a little bit of a projection. I'm going to say for what the Giants are doing, and I know the Giants like both players, that they're going to go with Ojulari in this case because he fits what they do better. That they're probably close on their board. I'm off, obviously, guessing on that part. But that they're close enough on the board where they like the guy who fits them better. And I think that's Ojulari in this case. So then you put Phillips up against Ojulari. And here's the thing. And we'll end on this and get to Jeremy Fowler in a second. If Phillips checks out completely for the Giants, injury history and everything, I think he would be the pick over Ojulari or Pay. So I picked Ojulari over Pay. Now I'm going Phillips, Jalen Phillips from Miami. Best pass rusher in this draft from majority of the people I talk to. If, and it's a big if at this point, but I think it's possible that he checks out and then they go with him over Ojulari, if that were the case. And then if you have Phillips against Patrick Surtain, I think they would, and again, Phillips checks out. Big if, but they would go with Phillips, who, as one person told me, you know, beast. That's what they said of Phillips as a pass rusher. Like straight pass rushing. That's he filling that box of getting after the quarterback off the edge. He's the best option out there in this draft. And with that, on to the next one.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, let's bring in my my basketball partner down at the combine. You know, he's got that sweet little lefty jump shot, Tony Kukoc style. When you look at him now on TV, you're going to see what I'm talking about. You could see that. That lefty, you got that tall, skinny look. Jeremy Fowler, who, of course, is a expert NFL mind. He, as he told me before, he nailed the Kenny Golladay as his one of his lone free agent hits. So yes. I'm going to consider you a Giants expert, Jeremy. All right. You guys, is that all right with you?
That's right. That feels good. That feels good. I'm going to say that around my house all day to my family.
Your jumper is also sweet. Expert. I mean, Tony Kukoc had a sweet looking jumper.
Hey man, I just run the pick and roll and get you the ball and get out of the way. Yeah, set picks for Jordy.
That's not what happens by the way, at all. I stand in the corner. I'm the corner guy, especially in a competitive game.
Corner guy makes a good living now. You just hit the open shot.
I know.
Shoot three all day.
I did not shoot like you know, some of these Steph Curry or Kyle Korver likes that just stood in the corner and never had to do anything. That's it's not my role. Anyway,
that's awesome.
Let's get to some good stuff here. We got you know, the draft right around the corner here. But first, let's just recap free agency. Right, you talk to a lot of people around the league. I'm curious, because I was getting the second they signed Adoree Jackson, yeah, I got a ton of texts being like, what are they doing? That is huge money. And the Galladay deal, too, surprised a lot of people. Not that they signed him, but that ultimately, considering where the market was at, that he got that money. So I'm curious, what did you hear when the Giants made those two moves?
Yeah, the Jackson one was shocking, because you talk to people around the league, and I heard this from multiple people. They said, look, just they should have traded for him, give up a seventh round pick or sixth round pick from Tennessee, and you just take on his option year of 1 year and $10 million or whatever it was. At least that's a little bit of a cheaper of a flyer than giving him, what did they give him, 16 over year one, essentially?
Yeah.
So
a lot of money, man.
They could have saved themselves some money by basically just paying to give up, or taking on money to give up a late round pick, because Tennessee would have taken that. So, but that's easier said than done when maybe they didn't know what Tennessee was doing or if they were going to cut him. Philly was interested, and I think they were applying some pressure there. So maybe they had some NFC East gamesmanship, and Giants felt like they had to close that deal.
That happened. But yeah, they were in it until probably reached double digits.
Right. I mean, there's still a lot of good corners out there right now. You know, guys, I mean, they're older, but guys like Steven Nelson or Casey Hayward, or like, I mean, man, you just didn't have to pay that kind of money.
But that age is a big thing for the Giants. They're trying to build something here. I think that they didn't expect a player that they liked that was 25 years old and that they thought could be here for 3-4 years. Not for 3 years, 3 years. Like they really expect him to be, fulfill that contract.
Yeah, for sure. But he's got speed. He's got first round pedigree. So that weighs a lot. That costs more for sure. But he didn't play all that well last year, and he was hurt for most of it. So I don't know. It's a questionable move at best. Look, if he regains his form, maybe it ends up being a pretty cheap deal, and that's good. The Galladay thing.
Smart was, if that happens.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And the Galladay thing. I'm still shocked he got his money, because he basically got the same offer that the Detroit offered, and going into free agency, it wasn't looking good. And everybody's talking about like how Galladay screwed it up, and he was gonna have to settle for 13, 14 million. And then the final numbers come in and he hit a home run. He obviously had some leverage, few teams interested, and really he's looked upon as, if not a top 10 receiver, probably 11, he's legit. I mean, there's not many better as far as a contested catch than him. He doesn't have that speed, but you're paying for what he can do in the red zone. I think the Giants are just sick of field goals, so he's a guy that you can just throw it up to.
Yeah. 31st in the league in scoring, that'll do it to you. Only the Jets scored less. I mean, that's like my go-to stat this offseason when I talk about the Giants offense, but that's where they were. I mean, yeah. And now they add Saquon and Galladay. Obviously you're a significantly better team when you add those two guys. I mean, you're just so much better.
Yeah, they just – right. I just feel like they needed a piece to put him over the top, like Darius Slayton, Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard are all good options, but they're not number ones. You just needed that guy you can go to in a crucial moment, and that became pretty clear, So I think it's hard to knock the move despite what you paid when you consider all that.
Giants fans are going to hate you when I say this, but like when you say Evan Ingram, I always think, I know I've had this conversation with you before. You're higher on Evan Ingram than most, especially every Giant fan. I'll tell you right now.
I know I am. I'll have to take that loss too. But
the Evan Ingram fan club right here.
It's crazy. But I did, when I was doing this project over the summer, like I was ranking players 1 to 10, and I just had a few coaches I really trust. I talked to these, I have these coaches rank, and some of these coaches just like love this guy, and they sold me on him. They just said, watch his route running, watch how smooth he is. And if you just watch that, it's true, but there's more to it than that. It comes down to production and not dropping the ball and all that stuff. So yeah, I'll take that loss.
Don't worry. I'm on the boat with you. I think my bold prediction for this year was like, Evan Ingram's going to break out. Like I've done it like every year now. Like he's like one of those guys that, the talent like just entices you. You just want to dream, and it's just not coming fully together, but you just refuse to believe that it's not going to. But so we're on that boat. I mean, we might as well go down and keep going down. We're already there. So when I'm thinking of like my bold predictions for this year, I'm definitely going to go in on Evan Ingram again. Like I'm just going to keep
going. we're going down with the Ingram boat. It might sink, but you know, if it stays afloat, it's going to be beautiful.
And then when he goes to a new team, we're going to be like, he's the new situation, the change, you know, the change of scenery, it's going to be good for him. Evan Ingram's going to blow up this year. We're going to be that guy.
Watch, he's going to go to the Chiefs in 2022 and he's going to catch 80 passes. They're going to do like a Kelsey Ingram two tight end set and they're just going to kill it.
Well, the 49ers actually, you know, you say that, it's funny. The 49ers actually called last offseason. Like they were in they were big in the market for another tight end. Like that was Kyle's and John Lynch's plan, like to try and get the double tight end. And so, cause they, you know, they didn't have that dominant wide receiver. Now they did a good job filling that you know, some of those wide receiver spots. But yeah, they were looking for a guy to put next to Kittle and run a ton of two tight end of really good, you know, receiving tight ends and sort of looking to exploit the market that way. Who was the big free agent that signed with Cleveland? What was his name?
From the Falcons? Which one?
Last offseason, tight end.
Austin Hooper.
Austin Hooper. They were in on Austin Hooper. They called for Evan Ingram. Like, this is interesting. So
Yeah. I think that's it's if you can get your offense set up Patriots. That way, you can dominate. Right.
Yeah.
That's what the Patriots are trying to do right now.
Yeah, they're going to try and play that two tight end. So it's interesting. The Giants are going to play a ton of two tight end too. I mean, Kyle Rudolph was an offseason addition. Evan Ingram, they have Levine Tuilolo and Caden Smith. So that's a lot of tight ends who have played in the NFL. You know, they're that are four actual real players in the NFL. Not great players, but
right. Because it's such a it can still be a like it, for the good athletes, you can almost be a positionless player now. You can be a tight end, you can be more of a weapon, you can go out wide. And so I think like the thought is if you get two really good tight ends on the field, then you force if they can catch the ball, you force teams to have to play nickel and then all of a sudden they're smaller, you know, and so you can use your size to win. So it's, you know, it's kind of a trending model. You're right. I can see why San Fran would want to do that.
Well, let's move into the draft. Well, Kyle Pitts is one of those guys, obviously. So are you in the boat that Kyle Pitts has basically a 0% chance to make it to the Giants at 11?
Yeah, I would say. Yeah. I mean, look, let's leave a wiggle room at 2%.
Okay.
I'm
going with one. Okay. I'm going to go with 1%.
Right. I talked to a GM who thought his floor was 15 and I said, you're crazy. Cause it's just not going to happen. I mean, I think, there's a good chance Atlanta takes him at 4. I wouldn't say a good chance, but I said, it's on the table. But among all the pass catchers, like he and Jamar Chase, I think will be the least likely to fall.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think Pitts' floor, if he were to fall, it'd be Dallas at 10. You know, Dallas wants to go defense, but if he falls to him, I think they'd take him.
Right. Yeah. No. He's not making it to 11. I asked around the league, and I'm curious, what do you think? So which players, non-quarterbacks, okay, have no chance to make it to the Giants? Okay. So let's say we have, you know, quarterback to start. There's going to be another quarterback, at least probably in the top 10. So at least four.
Right.
So there's six other picks, right? Which of those six picks, all right, have 0%? Like who has no chance to make it? I mean, you just mentioned Pitts. We'll put him in that category, right? You said who else? Who else do you think? And then I'll tell you what the answers I got were.
I mean, I think Jamar Chase will be top 10.
Chase's gone, right? But,
Chase and Pitts are gone, right? But anything else, like with Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, both those guys could fall for different reasons. Mm-hmm. I think both those guys could be available. Waddle to me is fascinating because, you know, I've talked to scouts who think he's the best player in the draft. But he's got the injury stuff. You know what I mean? So
So
he could fall because of that. And I keep hearing like, once again, the linemen are going to be prioritized. And that could push. There's so many good pass catchers that could push him back more. So you could have one of those.
So any of those linemen, do you eliminate any of those linemen from 11? Like any of them have.
Oh, yeah. Sue will be gone. Sue will be gone. And
those three. Go ahead.
No, sorry. I mean, I could see Slater gone too.
What the answers I got were like those three you just named, the, you know, Chase, Pitts, Sewell were like everybody unanimous. Everybody, the, you know, I just quick poll. I gave five people around the league and those five people all said those three gone. Slater was the one that was on the border where some people said he's gone. No chance he gets to 10, 11.
Right.
And some people were kind of, so this seems to be the common sentiment. You're exactly what you just said.
Right. Here's the problem though. I think we saw it last year. The offensive tackles got pushed up. There were guys with second round grades who went in the first.
Yeah.
And so five or six of them, you know, and then you had Isaiah Wilson late in the first round getting picked. He's out of the league now.
Yikes.
So it's going to happen again because you only have like three guys, if you include Darisaw, the guy out of Virginia Tech, three guys that are like surefire top 20 tackles. So I could see Slater going before 11 because of that. Like, I think they're just going to get pushed up a little bit.
Well, you tell me, what would you rather have? Like, if you're building your team, we've seen, you know, wide receiver is not the hardest position to fill. Offensive line is,
yeah,
especially tackles, significantly higher. Which is more premium position to you? I mean, right?
I would go Slater all day if I were the Giants. I just think he's like an all pro type guy, you know, like he's going to be really good. He can play guard or tackle. He's probably a little more refined than Penei Sewell is, even though Sewell's a little more dynamic. But like, I mean, Slater is, and you know, with Gettleman and his pedigree, I just can't see him passing on him if he's there. I really don't.
Yeah. I'm with you. That's the intriguing one to me. Like, what happens with him? Does he make it to 11? Because if it does, right, that's quite, that'll be a tough one. I agree. To see the Giants pass on, even if Devonta Smith is there, even if Jalen Waddle's there, like you can get a good wide receiver in the second round. You're not going to get a even comparable tackle in the second round to, you know, Rashawn Slater.
Right. There's a drop off there after those top guys for sure. Like as far as the tackles. So there's some good ones, but like you can get one in the second too. I mean, you can make an argument either way. I mean, these are the decisions that these GMs are making, right? Like in today's game where getting the ball in space is so important, do you go and get weird with a guy like Jalen Waddle and have fun and, you know, give Daniel Jones another weapon? I mean, I can see that argument. I just think like you've already got some progress on the line, but you clearly need more, right? And I don't know, is Andrew Thomas like a bona fide all-star? I don't know that yet. So you kind of got to,
you could find the space for a good offensive lineman. You know, like there's plenty of spots for you. You'll be all right. You get a good offensive lineman, you'll make it work, right?
Yes, exactly. It's one of those positions you just can't have enough, you know? And if he's there, I just think that's where they go. But I could see it either way. And what about like, is there a wild card here with the Giants? Like a Micah Parsons or something where they just, you know, figure, hey, let's go defense and front seven.
What edge rusher do you hear? Like, do you like best? Do you hear like people think more highly of him than everyone else in around the league? Because the Giants, their biggest weak spot, right, is going to be edge rusher. So really, yeah, with the 11th pick, the likelihood is they have their pick of edge rusher. So if they fall in love with somebody, maybe have them in that, you know, 10 to 12 range on their board and think it's good value. You know?
I could see that because it's another –
Jalen Phillips? I mean,
he would be the guy, Pay. I just, you know, you hear he's probably the consensus best guy there, at least from the scouts I've talked to. And so, but that's a tough one, right? Like, because there's not a bona fide top 10 guy at that position this year. So, do they get pushed up draft boards for that reason? Or can you wait and figure the depth will help you get a good guy in the second? But it's such an important position. I think that's the one you got to prioritize. So, you know, just thinking out loud of the Giants draft, I think if you have Slater there, or if you have a really high grade on Pay or you know, the Aziz out of Georgia, one of those guys,
Ojulari, yeah, those are the three guys. I think it would be between those three if there were one that they did
right. Those are all good picks that I think you could justify, certainly.
Yeah, also, I mean, moving back, which Dave Gettleman has never done, to me makes the most sense. I mean, because you move back, let's say to 16, 17, you could still probably get the guy you want there, or at least have a good shot or get one of them, right, for sure. And then try and gain more draft capital, which I think is always valuable, especially in this draft. But what's interesting here is that, you know, right now, the Cowboys draft 10,
yeah,
the Giants draft 11 and the Eagles draft 12. So we got NFC East back to back to back. Let's talk about that for a bit. What are we thinking is the likelihood for the Cowboys?
Yeah. So that's a fascinating trifecta there in the East for sure. Cause I think the Cowboys, the sense I get asking around is they want to go defense. They're all in on Dan Quinn and helping him out. And they know how bad they were in that side of the ball last year. They're going to have their pick of cornerbacks. All those top corners should be there at 10, I think. So if you, you know, if you go with Patrick Surtain the second, like it's hard to knock that pick.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense for them for sure.
Right. And that would help the Giants. Now the Eagles, and look, if Jerry Jones, if he's so enamored with Kyle Pitts that he has to move up, you can never really take that off the board, but they've been more sensible, I feel like, the last few years. And I don't think their phone's ringing all that much right now. Maybe closer to draft, it, you know, they'll make a move. But I don't get the sense that they're thinking anything crazy right now. So that probably helps.
Make sure Jerry's preoccupied. You know, you have
give a little project to
so you know, get the yacht close by, something like that. Just keep Jerry busy for a few hours. And
well, Zoom cut out, Jerry. Sorry. no, but yeah, I think that's a safe play for them. And so the Eagles to me are more of a wild card for the Giants. Cause like we talked about this before the podcast, you know, like Howie Roseman's always looking for a deal. He's always sort of lurking. He's unafraid to put himself out there. So if he jumps, tries to jump the Giants to get the right playmaker, get a Waddle or get a Devontae Smith, like I wouldn't put it off the table.
He's got to get through at least 9 though. Right. I mean, you got to figure the Giants won't flop with him. Right. And
yeah, exactly.
And then you got the Cowboys at 10. I doubt. So you're looking at, okay, if he jumps up, it's probably going to be the 8 or 9.
Right. And who knows what the Broncos are going to do if they want to trade at 9. They might be looking to trade up.
Right. Because, that quarterback.
You know, I've got a few execs that think that the Broncos are the most likely candidate to go up to get a quarterback if they really like one. Mm-hmm. And so they're probably not going to move back. I think the Panthers might be your best bet to move back.
Right, since they traded for their quarterback, at least probably unlikely they go that route.
Right. They'll be looking for value. You know, they need tackle help. They need corner help. I mean, need a receiver. They could go a lot of routes. So, you know, for Howie to move up from 12 to 8 is a sizable jump. He's got some firepower to do it because he already moved back. But then, like, you know, do they go bold enough to go get one of those quarterbacks? I don't know if it's worth moving up 4 spots to get a receiver. It's not the days like where Atlanta moved up for Julio Jones where you have to do that anymore, I don't think. You know, so I don't know if the risk reward is there.
That's really the only kind of receiver it's even worth. I mean, you better hope that the guy's Julio Jones. Like, I don't know. Unless like Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith, to me, great players, you know, open space kind of guys, but not guys I'm willing to go and trade and send the farm for if I'm any of these teams, to be quite honest, even the Giants.
Right. Right. Pitts
unless they're 6'4", 230, and just a complete freak that's going to go jump over a guy's heads. Like, I'm not willing to risk it all for a wide receiver. I think I'm with you. I think the wide receivers could end up dropping more than we think. The more I sit here and think about it.
But that's Kyle Pitts, right? Like, that'd be the guy you'd move up for, Pitts or Jamar Chase. I think those two would be probably worth it if you're going to do it.
The interesting part is the league is so bad at identifying tight ends. It's not even funny. I mean, we're sitting here saying, and I know I've spoken to people too that just love Pitts, but the league in general has been very bad at identifying tight ends. The best tight ends haven't even been, you know, these really high picks forever. I mean, it's just really strange position the way the NFL scouts it. They're just so haven't been good at it.
Right. Yeah. I was doing the research on that tight ends. I mean, it's like, I think only 13 guys since the merger have gone top 10. And the last fifth overall pick at tight end was like 1972. So like there's not a precedent for a guy going really high.
Where did Vernon Davis go?
Davis went sixth in whatever 2006, I think it was. But you know, he's not the route runner that Pitts is. So like, you know, if it's going to happen, it's going to be Pitts. I mean, he's a guy you use all over the field. I think teams recognize, okay, this is the best tight end film we've seen in 15, 20 years. So, you know, maybe the tight end evaluation process changes with him a little bit, you know? So yeah, I could see him going as high as 4, but I could also see quarterbacks going 1 through 5 if it comes to that, you know, if there's just so much pressure this year, that knowing next year's draft class isn't as good. So if quarterbacks go 1 through 5, then, you know, you're set up where there could be some jockeying to get up to get those players.
That would be wild if it went 1 through 5. That would be really wild.
Yeah, I still think it's unlikely, but, you know, I mean,
the likelihood is 3 out of 5 of them will probably bust out.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. And it's crazy. If 3 of them are good, are actually really good, legit, that's like a miracle.
Yeah, the stats are shocking. Like, I'm sure you've seen them, like, just in the breakdowns of the guys either going one or two in the draft, top 10 guys. Like, I mean, there's so many problems, so many roadblocks there. You know, it's just you don't know what you're getting.
I have to.
I think teams are going to do, they're going to start cycling through these guys. Like, the Giants could do it next year. You draft a guy high, you give him 3 years on a rookie deal, you throw a bunch of money at other positions. And then when the 3 years are up, if you don't have a bona fide top five guy, you dump him and you go to the next guy.
I've been a proponent of this for years. I've actually said that after 2 years, you should know if a guy's a stud or not. Like, you don't want just a good quarterback. Like, if you don't think he's a potential top five quarterback, you should just every 2 years, just keep moving on until you get it. Because, like, man, your chances of winning in today's NFL without one of those top guys is just, it's tough. It's really, really tough.
Right. So. But, like, in Daniel Jones's case, I can see giving a third year just because he probably didn't have enough last year. Let's give him a chance with what we have. Yeah. Give him a chance. You know, and if it doesn't work this year, obviously you got to move on.
Yeah. I mean, this is a big year for him. Well, we're talking about quarterbacks. So first, let me say, we were talking about potentially top five picks being quarterbacks. Number three is the 49ers. Are you of the belief that they're really going to take Mac Jones? I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and really believe that. And I know I keep hearing everything as well, and you hear all these rumblings, but, like, man, really going to draft Mac Jones third overall?
I've been asking myself that for 2 weeks and asking around that and just trying to figure all that out. And it's really tough because it's the people who know Shanahan well say, look, the fit is obvious, and it's Matt Schaub and Matt Ryan all over again. And it's, you know, you get a guy who can run the play action and get rid of the ball in 2 seconds and make great decisions. And he's clearly, I know the Niners feel this way, that Mac Jones is the smartest quarterback in this draft. You know, above the shoulders, he's the best. Now, does that mean he's a first round talent? Even probably not. And some teams still don't even have first round talent. So do you move up 9 spots to get a guy who's just not exotic? Probably not. But I don't know. The fit's so good that teams don't know what to think. Teams are trying to figure that out. I know that with Justin Fields and Trey Lance having a second pro days and the Niners being there, I know that's swaying some teams thinking that maybe Mac Jones was a smokescreen and that they're going to give, you know, they're going to go with Fields, who, if you would have mapped this out 6 months ago, Fields would have been the obvious pick.
Right.
So I tend to think it's going to be Fields. It's just, you know, there is a lot of Mac Jones buzz, and you kind of have to decipher if you think it's true or not.
Yeah. Like we said, like, I just think I don't know. I want to dream of if I'm trading up and trading all these players that I'm going to get the top 3 to 5 quarterback in the league at some point. And then I want someone who could basically be so dynamic and amazing. Like, I want Patrick Mahomes, you know, or at least someone that I could dream is Patrick Mahomes, which I think you probably could do with Fields and you probably could do with Trey Lance. And I can't do that with Mac Jones. So I don't know. I'm just sitting here the whole time scratching my head. Like, are they really going to do that? Now, and you look at the Washington football team now also, right? They're in the middle of the draft.
Yeah.
I think they're 15? No, they're more than that because they made the playoff.
Higher, yeah.
Yeah. I'll look it up in a second. But what's your take on them? Is a quarterback in their future? Are they going to roll with Ryan Fitzpatrick? Is that where we're headed? I know that's the plan for this year. But are they really not going to set themselves up for the future? They're still going to be stuck without a quarterback in the future?
So I think they'll see what kind of value they can get a quarterback, and I think they'll take one somewhere. Here's my prediction. I think they go with somebody like a Kellen Mond, right? Because you're wherever you're sitting in the draft in the first round, you're probably not going to get one of those top five guys. Mm-hmm. But day two, you can get a guy who started a lot of games for your starter, a complete opposite of Dwayne Haskins, who was a bust, you know, started the 1 year in college and then was a bust. We saw Mitch Trubisky, same thing. 1 year in college as a starter, not enough experience, kind of showed on the field in the NFL. So, like, Chicago, Washington, those are two teams I could see going for a guy like Kellen Mond, you know, where there's upside there, good athleticism and arm strength, didn't show at all in college, but also, like, managed a lot of wins and games over 4 years. Like, that, I think that's attractive to some of these teams as a day two guy, you know, like, somewhere second or third round.
So in the meantime, they could build as good a team as they want right there. And they're not really going to be going anywhere until they get a real quarterback. So that, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, Fitzpatrick, he, you know, like, the problem with him is you don't know 16 games that you're going to get, but you know for certain games you're going to get lights out. You're going to get 400 yards. Like, he's going to be throwing it all over the place. So, you know, like, that's kind of intriguing to me. I think you give him a year, see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for the year, I'm fine with that. But if I'm a Washington football team fan, I want to have something, a plan for the future. I want to be set up for the future. I mean, it's the only position that essentially, you know, that matters. If you don't have it, you really don't have any chance to win a Super Bowl or get deep in the playoffs. I mean, I'm not the biggest Ryan Fitzpatrick guy, in case you couldn't tell.
I see that.
I mean, like you said, he's good for like stretches. He'll be, you know, he could be good for like a 3-game, 4-game stretch, but I mean, 16 long term, not a buyer.
Draft a guy. Yeah. Draft Kellen Mond, sit him for a year and start him in 22. I don't know. That's not the sexy plan, but it didn't work out for them this year. Like, Deshaun wasn't available. They struck out on Matt Stafford. I thought they were going to go harder on Sam Darnold, to be honest.
And they
didn't. I know they were intrigued by that. They just didn't go all the way with it. So, yeah, it is what it is. But I think they'll draft somebody top three rounds.
Which to me makes, and I know Giants fans listening to this, they're going to hate me for saying this, to me, like, when I look at the NFC East, I say, all right, who's the favorite for the division? I look at the Cowboys and I say, they have the best quarterback in the division by a pretty wide margin right now. So to me, they're the favorites. I mean, Washington has Fitzpatrick, who's good enough at this point to win some games with, for sure. The Giants have Daniel Jones, jury's out, and the Eagles have Jalen Hurts. I mean, basically, essentially a rookie, right? Yeah, played a handful of games. So to me, the Cowboys would be the favorite. You agree or disagree with that?
I don't know if I'm ready to go all the way there yet. I mean, we give the Cowboys so much credit for just having good offensive players, but that clearly has not been enough. I know Dak got hurt last year and it is what it is, but I'm going to go to the Giants. I'm going to go to the Giants right now.
Look at
Giants,
you are win the suck up to the crowd here.
No, I like it. Joe Judge, I think he's going to put his stamp on year two. In fact, I don't wonder if he doesn't have some draft influence this year. Some moves they make are Joe Judge signature moves. Maybe a trade back. You mentioned trading back.
If they trade back, you got to assume that Joe Judge is a big part of that. No, I mean, Gettleman has never done it, ever, in 54 selections, ever. Traded back. And the Patriots.
Maybe they do it this year.
The Patriots.
And I think, every game they lost, most games they lost were by like 1.4 points, right? Like, every game felt close. So I just think maybe they bridge some of those gaps again.
Yeah, I mean, look. It's all a projection, obviously. But if Daniel Jones plays well, this team could be really good. The question is how good can he be, and what level of a player is he? We're gonna have to find out. That's their fate rests in Daniel Jones. I mean, that to me, that's where it stands. Like, they could be, if Daniel Jones is an average quarterback, they're a pedestrian team. If he could be a good quarterback, they'll be a good team.
Well, what's average though? Because like last year, he was probably below average.
He was below average.
Like, if average is like the Andy Dalton Mendoza line, like the,
you know, like Kirk, if you could do like 24 and 12.
Oh yeah. If he does 24 and 12, then they
and 12.
East. Right. If he goes 26 and 12, 4,000 yards, they win the East.
Okay. I don't disagree with that. I need to see him do it, obviously. And not, you know, that can't include 12 touchdown interceptions, but like, you know, the 12 fumbles, you know, but right. Yeah. You know, I agree. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's all a projection. And I do think he'll be better. I mean, you're giving him Saquon Barkley and Kenny Galladay, who just, you know, you're adding those two players to your offense. Just those two alone. If you take it from a big picture, you add those two guys, you should be significantly better.
Right. And you just gave Adoree Jackson $26.5 million guaranteed. That's going to put you over the top right there.
We could sit here and joke about the money and the amount that they paid for those guys, but this is what I say, and I don't really worry about money too much in general with the NFL, because I have people
you can get out all these deals.
I have people who run caps, and they always tell me, like, don't worry about it. We don't really worry about cap that much. I mean, this year they did more because this was a outlier year, right? The first time and this is the one out of 50 years that it's just the cap went down. There was a pandemic. They lost $4 billion the league in revenue. Like, this is the one out of 50 years that you really don't plan for, because You know, yeah. Who plans for the 1 out of 50? But they're a better team, the Giants. Like, those guys are upgrades from what they had before. Significant upgrades. Like, Galladay compared to Golden Tate at this point of his career, and Adoree Jackson, you're putting him in over guys like, they had five guys start at that position, none of who are NFL starters. Okay, so
right. I mean,
they're big upgrades.
A secondary of Bradbury, Peppers, Logan Ryan, Adoree Jackson, and Xavier McKinney is pretty good.
It is pretty good. Better rush the passer. Still got to rush the passer. That's the key. They could rush the passer. That defense would be really good. Like,
yeah,
take it to like the next level. Good. I really believe
that. I don't know who's going to rush the passer though.
I know that's a problem. Well, whoever they get in this draft, that's who's going to rush the passer. They need that. Yeah. They're gonna need that guy to come in and be a factor year one, which is a tough ask. I mean, it's not an easy ask. It's a position generally that takes some time for guys to blossom.
No doubt.
So, all right, let's play a little game, and then we'll get out of here. Let's play a little draft rewind. I'm going to let you be Dave Gettleman. Put on your Dave Gettleman pants, jack them up above your belly button, okay? Pull your socks up, get your glasses, put them on the bridge of your nose, okay? 2018, we're going to go back to 2018, play a little draft rewind. You got the number two pick. This is, we're going to be complete revisionist history. Let you sit there, be the armchair quarterback guy. What are you doing in 2018? You got the number two overall pick. The Giants draft Saquon. The options, obviously, you know, we're not going to include Lamar Jackson because that wasn't really realistic, right? I know he ended up being going to be. But you got your options there were like Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Bradley Chubb, Quentin Nelson, trade down. You get a chance to go back in time. What are you doing there with that two pick?
Well, this is easy, right? I mean, like, where's the challenge here? It's Josh Allen.
Okay.
What am I missing?
You know, some of the options are you could trade back, add more picks, get Quentin Nelson, and then get the quarterback in one of these next two drafts because we're about to get to 19 and 20.
Right. So if I was picking second that year, knowing what the climate was, taking Josh Allen second would have brought a little heat on my chair, right? Like, that would have been a pretty bold move at the time.
Not any less than he did the next year when he took Daniel Jones.
It would have been
in better shape because Josh Allen would have been okay. He's raw. He's from, you know, North Dakota or whatever, Idaho. Sorry. He's from Idaho. He gets to sit a year behind Eli Manning. You know, he's a good, perfect developmental prospect, blah, 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 blah. Right. I don't think you would have gotten crushed for that. I really don't.
Right. And see, at the time, I did like Darnold a lot. Like, yeah, I thought.
So. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I wasn't.
You know what I mean? Like, at the time,
I wasn't pulling for the Josh Allen thing. Like, this guy's an absolute, no doubt, slam dunk stud. I'm not going to lie about that.
Right. I just thought Darnold's game would translate well with the mobility and throwing off the run and all that. So, I would probably go Darnold.
Okay. But now, since we're sitting here, we're complete revisionist history.
Yeah, the Josh Allen.
Quarterback, sure. And you're going Josh Allen. All right. So now in 2019, you get the number six pick. All right. So we're taking quarterback out of there. Now you're sitting there. It wasn't a great draft otherwise. So you're sitting there. You got Josh Allen, the other Josh Allen now. So you might double up on Josh Allen. So you might have Josh Allen. Rashad Gary, Devin Bush. These are some of the options you're sitting there. You're sitting there. You're picking number six the next year. Yeah. Where are you going now that you already have Josh Allen, Mr. Quarterback Josh Allen?
Let me look here.
The options aren't amazing, by the way. You know, it's not like they picked Jones at six and, you know, Patrick Mahomes was sitting there at seven at that point. I mean,
so I can't go Devin White because he went five to Tampa, right?
Right, right. You can go Bush, though, who was a good player. I know he tore his knee this past year, but he was a really good player.
I might go Devin Bush.
Or something.
I would go Bush. Yeah. I think that kind of athlete.
The rest of that first round, and it's not overly impressive.
Yeah. Devin Bush can, like, anchor your entire defense.
Yeah. You have the other Josh Allen, the pass rusher, TJ Hockenson, Ed Oliver, Devin Bush, Jonah Williams, some of the other guys in the first round. Brian Burns is a pretty good player. Jeffrey Simmons.
Oh, yeah. Burns is a good one. I'd still go Bush, though. I think even though he tore his, like, he's going to be a top five linebacker.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, look, he was huge when they lost him. Obviously, he would guy who could play. When they lost him in Dupree, that's when I think they just, that was too much for them to overcome. They weren't, going to be a dominant defense anymore. So then you get to 2020. Now you've got Josh Allen, who's the quarterback of your offense, Devin Bush, who's the quarterback of your defense, and you're picking number four overall. Now, this is a good draft. You're probably going in that offensive tackle situation, although I guess there's other options.
Wirfs. I'm going Wirfs all day.
Wirfs.
Oh, wait a minute. Actually, you got Mekhi Becton too, though.
You got Wirfs. You got Becton. CeeDee Lamb is obviously really good.
I mean, they Derek really Brown did. Was a good player. The Giants messed around and took the worst tackle of the four, did they not?
Say that again.
Did the Giants not take the worst tackle out of the four, out of the four best tackles?
We could say that. He got better as the year went along. Wills was, he's probably comparable to Wills after year one, I think. But yeah, I mean, you could easily make that argument off the way he played. Yeah, he probably played, especially early in the year, worse than the other three tackles.
Well, yeah, because I don't want to slam the kid. I'm just saying, like, out of the four tackles after year one, he's third at best.
After year one, he's third at best.
Okay,
I think that's a fair comment. Doesn't mean he's necessarily going to be long term the worst of the four.
Right.
I wouldn't go there yet.
I would go.
Here was the other option with this whole exercise: was Justin Herbert end up going six here? So you could have maybe passed on Josh Allen the first time and gone the route of getting Quentin Nelson and trading down if that's the way you wanted to go, and then going and bringing her and getting Herbert later on down the road.
Right.
The Giants' hope was actually to get Herbert in 2019. It just didn't work out. He didn't come out of the draft.
Yeah, that's costly, huh?
Kind of screwed him. Yeah, big time.
Yeah, that is quite costly. I'm going to go Mekhi Becton. He's going to be like a top tackle.
You think Becton's ceiling even still is above where Wirfs is, huh?
It's crazy. Yeah. I think, I mean, Wirfs is right there. Wirfs is really good. It's just, he's on a better team. And he's playing on the right side where Becton's like plug in left tackle, let him dominate.
Yeah. Well, you got a pretty good team right there then. You know, you're going to be
looking. I kind of played it safe. I should have traded back. Trade back, got some value, but it is what it is.
You were really feeling the Gettleman though, that you don't trade back. It's not how you operate. You just see the best guy.
Take the best player, get guy. That's right. Take a running back. Got to get the running back high.
All right, you can pull your pants down now. You can take the glasses off. Did Gettleman even wear glasses? I don't know why I keep saying that. I don't know if he wears glasses. Anyway, but I appreciate you coming on, Jeremy. Always fun. We'll do this again sometime soon. You know, because I need you, because you are the guy who's the Giant expert. You nailed that. That's your team. You're the Giant guy. You nailed Kenny Golladay.
Yep, it's in my bio now. Giant expert.
Not that you're certainly the only one. That's important.
Funny. I appreciate you having me on, man. That was fun.
We'll do it again soon. Appreciate it, man. Anytime.
Thanks, Jordan.
On to the next one.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's move on to the Jordan on the Beat portion of this episode. This is the segment where I tell you what it's like to cover the Giants, work as a reporter for ESPN or covering the NFL in general. And I should kind of give you a little look inside into how the magic is made from the reporting side of things. So we're going to go over the 2017 NFL draft. That's the one where the Giants had interest in none other than Patrick Mahomes, or at least Some people in the Giants did. Now, I might have told this story before, and if you heard it before and you don't want to listen, you could fast forward, like, subscribe to this episode, move on to the next one, right? If you want to hear it, stay tuned. Here's how it goes. So, I believe it's after the owners' meeting. So, only one person from the Giants coaching staff or front office goes to Patrick Mahomes' pro day. That one person is Ben McAdoo. Now, remember, the Giants picked 21st in this draft. Patrick Mahomes ended up going 10th overall. Now, Ben McAdoo falls in love, right, with Patrick Mahomes. He sees the potential there, says, if you can cut out some of the ridiculous, crazy throws that Patrick Mahomes was making at Texas Tech, their talent is there, that if you coach him up and things turn out right, he could be the best player in the league. Now, it wasn't a slam dunk. There was risk to it, obviously. Like, you know, his game was flawed in college. But the traits were there, that the potential, okay, this guy could turn out to be a legendary great player, which is what happened, right? He's the best player in the league pretty much right now. You can argue Aaron Rodgers, him, whatever, a few others, Aaron Donald. But he's up there. He's that good. Now, McAdoo's in love with him, okay? So I believe is Mike Sullivan, the quarterback coach at the time. So they're, you know, they love him. But the Giants draft 21st. And the front office at that time, you know, led by Jerry Reese, Mark Ross running the draft, and even the ownership, you know, Chris Mara's involved, and some of the other big names that have say in the Giants organization, most of them are not in love with Patrick Mahomes, at least not to the degree that Ben McAdoo is, not to the degree of knowing they'd have to trade up and give up a significant package to get Patrick Mahomes. So draft day comes, and I believe it's the Thursday of draft day, and Anita Marks, who works for us here at ESPN, reports that the Giants are interested in Patrick Mahomes, trying to trade up. So I'm thinking at the time, I had spoken to some other people in the organization, and they weren't in love with Patrick Mahomes. So I'm like, that's kind of strange. That's kind of strange. I can't imagine the Giants wanting to trade up for him. So I believe I reached out to McAdoo at the time, I think it was. I think I even got an email back from Ben saying that that's not true, that they weren't, not that they didn't like him as a player, because obviously Ben did. He loved him as a player, and Ben would have loved for, he maybe was pushing the organization to trade up, but that they weren't at the time, and this was like an hour before the draft, trying to trade up for Patrick Mahomes. So maybe he had tried to push them to trade up. Maybe he wanted them to trade up, but it wasn't going to happen. You know, the Giants weren't universally in love with them. And think about it for a second. The general manager, who in this case was Jerry Reese, didn't even go to the guy's pro day. So for them to then be sold on a quarterback and trade up for him would have been wow. And then drafted him would have been wow. That would have been a wow move. I mean, seriously, think about that for a second. So they didn't necessarily try, or at least try hard to trade up for him, despite maybe some people in the organization saying they should. We should try and get this guy. But no move is eventually ever made. The Chiefs trade up for him, get into the 10th spot of that draft, select Patrick Mahomes, and the rest is history. The Giants, I'm sorry to break your heart, Giants fans, this one is going to hurt, I know. They stay at 21, and they take Evan Ingram, who right now is like sort of the whipping boy. Everybody's mad at Evan Ingram. He stinks, he can't play, he drops everything, blah, 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 which I think is overblown a little bit at this point. But still, not a fair trade-off. Now, granted, one is pick 10 and one is pick 21. Huge difference. But that's kind of the way it went down there. And so even though McAdoo wanted to probably trade up for and try and get Patrick Mahomes or whatever, get him any way possible, it wasn't going to happen. And the Giants, despite their head coach loving the player, you know, that's not the way they work. There's nobody with that much power, especially when there's a general manager in place and the general manager is ultimately making the pick for players. Was never going to happen. So no Patrick Mahomes. And here we sit, 4 years later. Giants have now picked second, sixth, fourth, and 11th overall. I would say that Ben McAdoo on this one probably would have been right. Probably would have wanted to have traded up for Patrick Mahomes and given anything and traded anything that they could to get that guy. But it's a lot easier for us to say these things. And again, we're doing it again with in the earlier segment with Jeremy sitting there armchair quarterbacking the draft. Yeah, of course, it's easy to do it after the fact. The reality is guys are going to hit and miss in the draft all the time. You just have to hit on some big ones. You just have to have, you hit a 50 percentile even in the first or second round, and you're going to be doing really well. But it's got to be, you got to get some big ones in there. You got to have some big hits. That's what we're looking like with the Giants right now. They're only going to be good if Gettleman has some big hits, right? Saquon, Daniel Jones, Dexter Lawrence. Like, they need some of these guys to develop into perennial Pro Bowlers, all pros, somewhere, some way, shape, or form. Otherwise, it's going to be a tough ride. But that's the end of this episode of Breaking Big Blue. We got a couple more draft episodes for you before the draft actually arrives. So come back, stay tuned. As always, like, subscribe, tell your friends, email me, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Clubhouse. I don't know. I'm naming. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. These too many social media platforms. But you know where you could reach me. Feel free to reach out. Throw me draft questions. I'll have a Giants After Dark. I'll answer your questions soon. That's the end of this episode of Breaking Big Blue. I'm your host, Jordan Ronan. See you next time.